Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Education Currents. We're glad you could be with us today. And today we're going to be talking about true differentiating, educating the whole child. And I remember climbing up the stairs to my classroom for the first time. It was my first time in teaching public school, and I didn't know quite what to expect. We'd been through some fuzzy pre-week stuff that seemed like a blur. They were trying to orient us, and we'd sat down and made volumes of syllabuses so that they could sit on our shelves the rest of the year and get dusty. But it was syllabus after syllabus on the different classes that we were going to teach. The thing I was first shocked at was the lack of textbooks. And I don't know whether it was money or intentional, but they didn't have a lot of textbooks. Instead, they had a curriculum that they gave to you in this format of this syllabus. And then we were told, we want you to differentiate, because differentiating is the key, and that's going to be a major thing. Now, you've got to turn in your lesson plans, they said. You've got to turn in your lesson plans every week. Your lesson plans for the whole week need to be in on your desk. Now, it turns out that they never came and checked them, because it was a school of over 500 kids, and it was pretty busy as it was, but they still wanted them there. And then when you are evaluated, we're going to look at them, and that's when they did look at them, and we're going to see how well you differentiate. That's what we're looking for. That's the main thing. So the first evaluation came, and I decided I'd play it safe, and I would use some of the actual lesson plans that were given to me by the local county, and I was sure they would be differentiated. I'd been searching for exactly what they meant by differentiation, since one of the first things that surprised me was that they had monthly and sometimes bi-monthly testing, because the county was so worried that the kids weren't going to be ready. They wanted to know ahead of time if the kids weren't going to pass the state exams, so they would pre-exam them and then drop the data into this little computer, and you'd see these little colored squares. And so all your kids were digitized in colored squares on the screen. They became the blues and the greens and the yellows and the reds. No, not the reds. And you wanted to keep as many reds off your screen as possible based on this testing. But the testing was exactly identical, and it was a worksheet, and they told us, don't use worksheets. So, of course, the poor kids came into doing their tests having never done a worksheet, and the test is a form of a worksheet. And it was the same test for everybody. So I was trying to say, how are you going to differentiate? How are you going to be able to differentiate for these little kids? You know, I looked over there at Raymond, his little chubby face looking back at me. He was a kid that had a high temper. He loved activity. He couldn't stand sitting still. And then there was Amy, who sat in the corner as quiet as a mouse, looked like a soda straw. She was so skinny and didn't want to be noticed and didn't want to raise her hand, didn't want to get help. And I looked at these two, which were the worlds apart within the classroom, and thought, you know, differentiation would be really great for them. But if I differentiate for them, and yet I'm trying to come down to the same conclusion, what's going to happen? And I began to understand that first semester that it was like having a huge pipeline that you want to build, because you want to transport a lot of fluid through this pipeline. But at the end of the pipeline, you have the same old 3/4-inch garden hose still hooked to it. So all the water comes rushing down there and has to stop anyway to get through the little garden hose, because I couldn't figure out this differentiation in order to truly differentiate for the kid. Now, as it turned out, I finally went to another teacher and said, well, you know, what is this? What are they looking for? Because they told me, yeah, you're not differentiating the way we want you to. And I said, well, you know, I'm differentiating. I'm teaching, you know, the tactile for the tactile kids. And no, that's not what we mean. We want you to just make it so that your kids can get good grades on the test. And finally, one of the teachers said to me, what it means is you just dumb down the tests. Like if you're given a spelling test, you give 20 words to the kids that are, you know, whiz-bang with spelling, and then you give 15 to the ones that are less, and maybe 10 to the ones, and then 5. So basically, it meant taking the material and kind of dumbing it down to different levels for the kids, rather than truly differentiating for the whole child. Because what they wanted to do is to try to prepare. I mean, everything about it was to prepare these kids for that test. So real true differentiation wasn't even happening. And I struggled with that. I struggled for 2 years. I never could get quite on board with what the county wanted me to do, which I finally realized after 2 years was to just get these little snots ready for the test. And if you did that, you became a rising star in the county, because that's what it was all about. So I had my first introduction to the term differentiating, which doesn't mean differentiating at all. It actually meant just get the kids ready for the test, and there was no differentiation in the teaching other than scaffolding the same material down to try to get everybody ready. But in the end, everybody was tested by that same arbitrary scale. And a lot of it didn't make any sense. And it made me wonder in the first place, when our county said we're really excellent at education, I wondered what they meant by that. When you go back, one of the things that always fascinates me, when you go back to the beginning of all this angst about public education in the United States, which started in the 60s, I think probably the thing that sticks out in my mind is the Reader's Digest book, and I don't know whether it was an actual book, but it was Why Johnny Can't Read. Now, when you look at what caused the angst, it wasn't the fact that kids were doing poorly on testing. What it was is that kids were coming home and not being able to function in real life and real society. So we took that benchmark of real life and real society back then and decided we would fix it, but now we're measuring it not with the original benchmark that we used to determine that there was a problem in the first place, but a set of arbitrarily made-up tests so that somebody can report scores down finally to get to Washington, D.C., where you can get your funding. And so we're apples and oranges. If we say a school system's doing much better than it was in the 60s, we really don't know that, because we weren't giving the same tests back in the 60s. So when you come to differentiating, and one of the problems with differentiating is that school systems and governments can't really measure it. They can't measure it. If you're going to go out and say, I'm going to teach to the whole child, and I'm going to find out what these child's strengths are, and I'm going to try to help them with some of their weaknesses, but I'm going to try to develop them for who they are individually, what can a bureaucracy do to measure that? What kind of test are you going to try to do to measure that? So instead, we have to create a one-size-fits-all test and then label kids according to that test and put them on a bell curve. And the more the kids that we can shove up to getting the good grades on that test, then the better, quote-unquote, we call our school system. Because they're better on that one instrument. I mean, it's just insane when you stop to think of it. It drives me crazy. We're judging entire states and entire states full of children based on one instrument that the state tests in the long run. And there's no differentiating. You can't differentiate that test. They call it differentiating. They'll put a little code that says this kid gets to use a calculator because nobody taught him math and he's no good at it. And this kid over here gets a little code and somebody reads the test to him and because nobody taught him to read, you know. So, but still, it's going to look good because his scores will be better. And then we get a little code for this guy over here because he can't write. Nobody taught him to write. And so somebody writes for him. He dictates to them and writes. And then they put all these things together. It looks really great. And then the kids go into high school. The same kind of thing goes on. Finally, they get to college. And the people in the community college are pulling their hair out saying, these kids aren't ready for education. They're not ready to think. No, they've been wet nursed all the way through with scribes because they can't write, with readers because they can't read, with calculators because they never learned to do math. And now suddenly all of that at the college level is taken away from them. It's all gone. You know, now, okay, now I'm going to go to college and where's my reader? So we don't really truly differentiate. We call it differentiating, but it's pseudo-differentiating because we're all trying to make the kids squeeze into that one square hole at the end of the journey. One square peg. If you're trying, you know, if you say to everybody, okay, art class, thank you for coming to my art class. I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to learn to do some finger painting. Now, I want you all to express yourself with a finger painting, and I want you to just have a blast and express yourself. But at the end, all your pictures must look exactly alike, because if they aren't exactly alike, if they don't measure the standard, then, well, I can't keep track of how well I've taught, and I can't keep track of how well my students have done, and I won't get funded. What kind of art class would that be?
You know, I'm sure as the teachers listening, they're thinking about, okay, I do differentiated learning, I think. I hope I do. And so I want to go through some of the statements. They sound pretty stuffy, but I want to go through these statements. Okay, an educator who is doing differentiated learning provides multiple examples.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. And they highlight critical features. Now, this might be they're giving too much information.
Yeah, so you got to play that. You got to decide what you want your students to learn. Now, In I don't want to pick on public education too much, to be honest, but it's a whipping boy. But there you're kind of told what your students
are
going to learn.
Yes, and that hasn't fully arrived at the collegiate level, and I don't know that it will. I know there is some discussion about it, and the collegiate level, they're fighting it tooth and nail because we want to continue to have the freedom to teach. In fact, there are 5 different classes in the class that I teach, and each one of us has the freedom to teach it however we want.
Yeah, Orwellian. It's the big sister that's everybody, you know, we got to judge everybody by the same thing, and it'll be a disaster. I mean, it's a disaster already in the...
Well, we get the disasters, and we try to catch them up. So you know you're a differentiated learner educator if you provide multiple media and formats. What does that mean?
Well, that would mean that you would use like still pictures or video, or if you're in a rich school district, the overhead they have the document cams now that you can put your document down and write, and it shows up on. So you'd have all these different media in the different formats. In the old days, it was film strips and films, and you know, so you weren't just using one thing all the time. Chart paper. Things like that.
PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And getting the kids to do it too. Okay, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you support background context. What does that mean?
Well, that means you want to fill in the kids to the background of what you're trying to teach them. So if you're trying to teach them about the savannah, that means that you fill in the background context that it's in Africa and that... And what causes it, you know, what made it be the savannah versus mountains or versus a plain of green grass, you know, so that they have the whole background of the concept you're trying to teach them.
Okay. Well, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you provide flexible models of skilled performance.
In other words, you're going to sit and show them what you expect them to do. You know, you should always... model. And so you're going to go up in front of them. If you want to say, okay, today we're going to do underwater basket weaving, you'll come in with your swimming suit and a tub and jump in and do some underwater.
And that would be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, nothing makes anybody more nervous than somebody coming and say, okay, we're going to do XYZ, and you have no idea what it is.
Yes.
You know.
But that is a technique. That is a technique. I can't remember what it's called, but with young children, it doesn't seem to bother them a bit. You just set a box of stuff and don't tell, give them any instructions.
But that's okay if you have no expectation. But see, if you as the teacher or as the county has a certain expectation or a certain outcome that they want, a specific outcome that they want, then they need to be guided, you know, so they can see how it's done. So if I'm going to teach them what a verb is, then I'll have up there either on my document cam or up on the chart an actual thing that they would do, and I'll show them. I'll say, okay, I'm the student today, and this is, and you might even have one of the kids play a teacher, you know, and you might ask, so they can see, okay, I get it, that's how you do it.
Yeah, students learn best when they're teaching. Okay, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you provide opportunities to practice with supports.
Okay, so that's just going to be practicing, and this follows the lesson of what you do when you're differentiating. I mean, you first model. And you should model several different ways, not just one way that something can be done that you want. And then you're going to give them a practice time before they actually do the assignment that you want turned in. So you'll have some practice things for them to do that you can come by and stand and watch their group. And usually put the kids into groups so that they can work with each other. Unless, you know, sometimes that backfires. But if you're in a school with a lot of, you know, well-behaved kids that want to do well, it really works great. If you're in a school where they all hate each other's guts, it can be disaster.
Yes. But we're going to assume that we are all
yes,
in
schools. We're in this wonderful school, yes.
And you know, this is such a far cry from the lecture method.
Yeah.
You know you are a differentiated learner educator if you provide ongoing and relevant feedback. And I just love this. It still gets on my nerves when I see in the high school where I tutor. There's still those teachers that get up there and they give wonderful lectures. And they give wonderful homework. They don't give any feedback on the homework. A grader grades it. And so my question is, where do they know for sure the kid's learning? How do you know?
And you need to give feedback right as we're doing it. You're walking around the classroom. You're circulating. You know, I mean, a good classroom, if you were to sit back and look at the classroom, for the most part, you are going to see the kids in groups. You're going to see the teacher blended in the background walking as a coach.
Yes.
They're going to be up front.
Instead of the sage on the stage, you are the coach on the side, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. That didn't rhyme too well. But
yeah, it's supposed to rhyme. What happened with that? Okay, well, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you offer flexible opportunities for demonstrating the skill. And that does that mean for the student to demonstrate the skill?
So in other words, that's asking for a differentiated outcome. And again, there's where you put a huge red check mark in our current American education, because they don't provide flexible opportunities for demonstrating the skill when they do the final testing. When they're testing, it's all the same. It's everything that you're told not to do. Don't ever use a worksheet. But then in the end, it's a worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a test. So it's a worksheet, and then that's what they rise or fall on.
And I think there's a place for a worksheet or a workbook or a textbook. I know that some systems really tout the fact, oh, we're a textbookless, you know, district. But there is a place for that.
Oh, it takes a huge burden off a teacher. If the teacher's willing to riff, you know, like a jazz riff, with the textbook, use it as a guide so that they know what content they're teaching, but don't stick just with the textbook. But now you know that it's a good guide that keeps you on track, and you can add all kinds of things to it and all your own things.
Yes.
But at least there's something there, whereas when there isn't, I mean, oftentimes we had to go and literally go to the test that the county gave us to find out what we should teach and the sequence we should teach it in. And nobody sat down. And there is, like, in math, there is an important sequence to teaching math.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that sequence got all messed up because you had to have the major testing. You had to teach the major things before the testing, which occurred in, you know, sometimes in April.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the first part of April. So you really, the last quarter of the year, I mean, the last month didn't count in school. You had to get everything in before that, so that they could give that test, so that it could go on. Now, here's something that a lot of parents may not realize, but in most public school district outs there, that the little report card you get at home, the little report sheet, it means nothing. It's meaningless. It's just the subjective grade that a teacher put down for your kid so that you can have something to look at, but that's not what the county's looking at. That's not what gets the school in trouble or out of trouble. It's not those report cards at all. It's a totally separate system.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you offer choices of context and tools.
Oh, that's the fantastic thing, too. For instance, if you're, let's take an example. You're teaching fifth grade adjectives and adverbs. Adjectives probably better. So let's say we're going to teach them adjectives. So now we can give them, you know, we can have different learning stations. Once I've introduced the lesson and talked to them in a group and send them off to their choice of station, and one station may have modeling clay and some paints and stuff like that, where they can now say that, you know, the blue balloon and the orange and the big, and another one may have soda straws that are made so you can connect them together, and another one, you know, may have just art paper and all these different things and tools that they can use to express what they've learned.
That takes a lot of time.
Well, it really doesn't. I mean, it doesn't.
Okay.
You can set that up very quickly, and then you're walking around and you can see, you can spend your time assessing as they're doing it, and you know, kneel down. Like, that's really good. You know, tell me about that.
How now, your assessment, does it count? Doesn't the teacher's assessment count, or does only what they score on the test count?
Well, the teacher's assessment accounts for the report card that's sent home, which is meaningless. It is literally, in the world of public education, meaningless. Other than it's,
you know what,
something that the teacher reports to the parents, but it's not what's getting looked at by the state. It's not what makes the adequate yearly progress. Isn't based on that at all. And whether the school gets funded again, that isn't based. And whether or not your child passes, that even doesn't have a lot to do with it.
Well, I know that we're speaking from a limited experience here in our area where we've come from. I would love for some school district that is doing all these things and doing it right to come on as a guest.
Well,
you're welcome to call me at 1-301-824-3162, and we will have you as a guest.
But there's going to be very few, because it's not just
Well,
this.
I want to know of somebody.
Well, right now, Maryland, the state of Maryland, for instance, touts itself as the number one education in the nation.
I know.
But it does so because it's based on how many people pass its test. And every single school district, unless there's a school district out there that has thumbed its nose at the education department and said, we're just going to go our own way and we're not going to take the funding. But I don't think there is one.
Yeah.
Everyone takes that funny. You take the devil's money, you dance the devil's jig.
Ooh. Well, look, we have three more things that you can know if you are a differentiated learner. Educator. The next one is, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you offer adjustable levels of challenge.
Yes. Now, by the way, you can underline that. That is solely and strictly what differentiation meant in our district. Now, they knew, I mean, they weren't ignorant of these facts, but it's just the fact that that was the only one that really could impact a test, because all these other ones tend to lead towards also differentiated outcome, and there's no differentiated outcome. So that was the big thing, the choice of levels. That was what they meant when they said differentiated learning. It took me 2 years to figure that out. That's it. That's what they meant.
Okay, well, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you offer choices of learning context.
Yeah, that's,
how can you do that?
That's a blast. Well, once you set up your different options, then you let the kids choose what option they want to do for their assessment, or what option they want to do for their assignment. Like, I tried to do real math with my kids, so they had a choice, and they could. One of them had to set up a candle factory, and they had to go through the cost of boxes and materials, and then how much they could sell their candles for, and how many they would have to sell, and show it all mathematically that they could make a profit. And then another group could have the choice of taking and figuring out a farm and how many gallons of milk they would need and how much. So there was all these different choices that the kids could have that was really teaching the same concepts, but it was differentiated according to their, you know, to the basic. But you don't assign kids strictly necessarily to it. You let them choose.
That's wonderful. And the last one, you know you are a differentiated learner educator if you offer choices of rewards. Agree with that?
Yes, that's fantastic too.
Well, folks, we've come to the end of our show. You're listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. And thank you, Paul, for a wonderful show. And thank you, Matt, for being a great engineer, and the Life Talk Network for making this broadcast possible. For more information, be sure to go to educationcurrents.com. That's educationcurrents.com. And we look forward to being with you again next week. Have a great week.